the search for survivors of a Yemeni Airlines crash continues. NTSB believes the experimenter was impatient. And Senator Schumer accuses airlines of bait and switch. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, July 1st, 2009. Two French Navy ships and another one from Madagascar have been dispatched in support of a search for any possible remaining survivors of a Yemeni A310 that went down in the Indian Ocean on Tuesday. The only known survivor as of our deadline has been identified by authorities in Comoros as 14-year-old Bakary Baya, who'd been traveling with her mother. The rest of the 142 passengers and 11 crew are feared lost. Winds in the area at the time were reported at 71 miles per hour, just short of official hurricane force. But attention is also being focused on the airworthiness of the 19-year-old airliner, which reportedly had been banned from French airspace. Yemeni officials insist the plane was just overhauled in May and was in shape to fly. We'll follow this story here and in text form at aero-news.net. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued a factual report on the 2007 crash of a van's RV-10 four-place kit plane near Greenville, Pennsylvania. While there is still no final report on probable cause, there are already several possible lessons. The board says the builder had chosen an Eggenfellner conversion for the plane, a turbocharged, fuel-injected flat-six Subaru auto engine claiming 220 horsepower with a four-bladed in-flight adjustable prop. Investigators found no anomalies with the parts, but say the electronic propeller controller was not the one specified by the manufacturer, and that many of the wires appeared not to have been connected before the crash and fire. NTSB says it also interviewed the pilot's friends and co-builders and reviewed emails which suggested several modifications had been done or planned, that the owner had exhibited impatience with the pace at which he was getting the project completed, and that he was neither familiar with his EFIS nor trained to fly a high-performance aircraft. A family member told investigators the pilot was out to do some touch-and-goes before flying his family to Boston, Massachusetts in the plane. U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, the New York Democrat, has introduced legislation which would require airlines and travel brokers to disclose on their websites when the flight you're booking involves an affiliated regional carrier. The law was prompted by the February crash of Continental Connections Flight 3407 in Buffalo, New York. That flight was operated by Colgan Air, and the circumstances, including the contents of the voice and data recorders, have called into question the screening and training of pilots at the regionals. Many airlines, including Continental, already identify regional carriers in their itineraries. But Schumer told Newsday, quote, "It looks like you're flying the major airlines, but in half of these you're not. In certain instances, the airlines are pulling a bait and switch," unquote. Schumer's bill would reportedly require the disclosures at the start of internet transactions and also apply to telephone reservations and advertising. Up next on ANN, a South Carolina repair shop operator is sentenced. Banking software finds security risks who hold pilot certificates. And Air Force officials fear vibrations in the Ares One rocket may defeat its own self-destruct hardware. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 1st. I'm Paul Plack. The owner of Quality Aircraft Support in 96 South Carolina has been ordered to pay $403,000 in fines and serve 3 years probation for continuing to repair parts for commercial and military aircraft a decade after his FAA certification had expired. According to the Greenville News, Jerry Como surrendered his air agency certificate number in April of 1996 amid allegations he was performing substandard work at Quality Aircraft Support. The 2008 indictment said Como continued to perform repair work without the certificate, using fraudulent forms that left out references to the FAA. Como pleaded no contest to the charges. His wife, Vicky, who'd been his office manager, testified against him and had the charges against her dropped. The couple also has been charged with money laundering, mail fraud, and wire fraud. In the days following the 9/11 attacks, the U.S. instituted laws requiring the FAA to revoke the pilot certificates of people identified as security threats. But in the course of demonstrating software used by banks to scrub databases, a small New York company discovered six suspects or convicts who apparently slipped through the cracks. The New York Times reports the FAA and TSA apparently were unaware that these six, which include an Iranian-American convicted of attempting to sell fighter parts to Iran, and a Lebanese citizen who was caught and convicted of trying to sell military equipment to Hezbollah, held FAA licenses. At least two were dispatchers, with responsibilities for passengers and cargo. Another was imprisoned after the FBI seized a large shipment of parts destined for Iran. He was reissued a license to fly large commercial jets following his release from prison. The topper may have been a Libyan man convicted in the 1988 bombing of Pan Am 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland. He was sentenced to 27 years for his role in that tragedy, but the FAA never pulled his certificate. The FAA suspended the licenses on Thursday, and the Department of Homeland Security has promised a comprehensive review. Fortunately, the oversight did not compromise the seizing of dangerous shampoo bottles at U.S. airports. The Orlando Sentinel is reporting that Air Force officials are concerned that vibration issues in NASA's Ares 1 launch vehicle could compromise the rocket's own thrust vector control and self-destruct circuits, posing risks to residents along Florida's Space Coast. The paper reports the concerns may delay or cancel a planned August 30th test launch. While the solid rocket boosters are proven technology, John Cowart, NASA's deputy Ares 1X program manager, told the paper, quote, "If you change little things, it's amazing the amount of reanalysis you have to go do," unquote. The Ares 1 will eventually carry astronauts back to the moon, but those missions aren't planned for more than a decade. Still ahead, NASA selects the astronaut class of 2009. A Virginia company has equipped a Skymaster for autonomous takeoff and landing, and an accomplished member of the 99s has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, July 1st. I'm Paul Plack. After reviewing more than 3,500 applications, NASA has selected nine people for the 2009 astronaut candidate class. They'll begin training at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston this August. Bill Gerstenmaier, NASA's Associate Administrator for Space Operations, commented, quote, "This is a very talented and diverse group. They'll join our current astronauts and play very important roles for NASA in the future. In addition to flying in space, astronauts participate in every aspect of human spaceflight, sharing their expertise with engineers and managers across the country," unquote. The group includes at least three women. You can find the names and details in the text version of this story, dated June 30th, at aero-news.net. A Cessna Skymaster recently did a successful takeoff and landing with nobody at the controls. Aurora Flight Sciences announced on Monday that it has successfully demonstrated fully autonomous takeoffs and landings using a company-owned Cessna 337 configured as an optionally piloted aircraft testbed. The flights have been conducted under the FAA experimental category, and they took place near Aurora's headquarters in Manassas, Virginia. A safety pilot and a test engineer were on board the aircraft at all times, preserving the required ability to see and avoid other traffic. Rob Searle, the chief engineer for the program, commented on the significance of the event. Quote, while Aurora has routinely operated vertical takeoff and landing unmanned aircraft in a fully autonomous mode, this marks the first time we have performed fully autonomous takeoffs and landings in a conventional takeoff and landing configuration, unquote. Aurora says the technology will be incorporated in several of its upcoming programs, including a high-altitude, long-endurance technology demonstrator known as Orion. And finally today, Annie Lawrence learned to fly before she learned to drive a car. Airplanes often flew low over her grandparents' farm on final approach to a nearby dirt strip, which she said inspired her to pursue a career in aviation at a time when the field was almost completely dominated by men. Annie went on to ferry military aircraft across the country during World War II and once had to make a forced landing in a farmer's cabbage field. She was also an accomplished enough mechanic at the time to repair the plane with local parts and complete the delivery. Annie ran a business repairing engines and fabric on airplanes in the 1940s and 50s in DeLand, Florida. She taught aviation classes at nearby Stetson University, and for more than 25 years, she volunteered with the Fernandina Beach, Florida Civil Air Patrol. After moving to Atlanta, she worked as a ticket agent for Delta, married, and had two sons. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that Annie lost a battle with diabetes and dementia last Wednesday at a personal care home in Lawrenceville, Georgia. She was 84. Annie, thanks for your contributions to aviation and to our country. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, hear the actual announcement by Cirrus Design founder and former CEO Alan Klapmeyer of his bid to buy out the Cirrus jet program, and the full audio recording of the response from current Cirrus aircraft CEO Brent Wouters. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.